Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Mem Hey Amud Aleph with the new Perek. The Perek here deals with what we call Zimun. The previous Perek dealt with Brachot. Now we're moving over to a Bracha Achrona on Birkat HaMazon. But within the context of Birkat HaMazon, we're going to deal with the Birkat HaZimun. And that is when three people get together, there's an addition to the benching, the addition to Birkat HaMazon, which we know as Birkat HaZimun. In terms of what creates or what is Mechayev or obligates one in Birkat HaZimun, it turns out to be a massive machloket rishonim. We won't have a lot of time to spend on it, but I just want to give you some background so that you know, as we're going through the Gemarot, you can see that there are different stadim that we find throughout the Gemara. The question is, if three people eat together, when are they considered to be eating together and create a zimun, and when are they considered separate? So the opinions run the gamut. There are some that say they must begin the meal together. In order to be classified as a zimun, they must begin the meal together. They must say, break bread together, say the bracha of a motzi together. The other Rishonim that believe they simply have to end the meal together. Not start it, but if they end together, if they come together before they finish the eating the meal, and then they join together to eat a portion of the meal, that is sufficient to create the chiyub of Birkat HaZimun. And there's some Rishonim require you to eat from beginning to end together in order to generate that obligation. There are other opinions, which seems to maybe be the Rashi's opinion, is that simply the bracha. If you get together to bench, that's enough to be mitztarif to create the zimun that you need to have the three of you together. Those opinions, again, run the gamut through the Rishonim, and the Rishonim are arguing based on the points that are brought up in our Perek as to when or how we establish Birkat HaZimun. So now the Mishnah begins, Shlosha she'achlu, three people ate together, kachat, as a single unit. Chayavim lezamein, they are obligated to be mezamein. We're going to see later on in the Perek, but it means that they're obligated to be mezamein, that means that they don't have the option to break up. They must have a Zimun together, and that later on the Mishnah says, Asurim lechalek, they may not divide up. And because they are chayav and zimun, they must discharge that obligation before they split up. Now, achal damai umaser rishon shitna chumato maser sheni vehekdesh nifdu. All of these items are things that are quasi isur. They're not perfect. They're also not completely isur. The Gemara will later come back and discuss each one of them. What exactly is the problem that we have over here? And that's what Rashi is saying. Uvachol ani itzrich leshmiyin on our Mishnah. You had to explain to us the afakav the damul isur. Even though they're similar to something that is a sur, ein kan bracha b'aveira. Nevertheless, there is no bracha b'aveira, which we'll see later on, is something that restricts a person from benching or joining in the zimun if he eats something and be sur. So a person eats tevel, something that's completely a sur, they may not join in the zimun. On the other hand, if a kohen eats truma and Israel eats chulin and they're eating together, they can join in the zimun because each person is eating that which is permitted to them. So over here we have achal demai, a person who ate demai, which is produce that is sold by an amaretz to a chaver, and we're uncertain as to whether he was mafrish trumot to masrot. Maser rishon shenitla trumato. From here it sounds like you're talking about maser rishon that the Levi has, and he gave the trumat maser to the kohen. Obviously, if he did that, there's nothing wrong. The Gemara again will discuss what the issue is. Maser sheni vekdesh nivdu. Maser sheni and hekdesh can be redeemed, and the money is then can either by maser sheni brought up to Yerushalayim and used to purchase food in Yerushalayim and eat in there, or hekdesh, the monies are then given to hekdesh. In both of these cases, that's completely permissible. And the Gemara will discuss what nuance happened here that made it that it wasn't perfect. Veshamash shachal kezayit, the person who is serving the meal, who ate a kezayit. In general, it would be improper for him to eat with the people that are mesiv, that are eating there. The shamash is the server, the servant, and therefore would be inappropriate to eat with them. On the other hand, if there are two, and then the shamash eats, and he becomes the third, that's to their benefit, and therefore it is permissible in that case. Vakuti. Akuti is also fine to mizaminim elav. All these people, we can have a birkat hazimun with them. Again, the Gemara will deal with all of them. Achal tevel. On the other hand, if you eat something that is completely asur, tevel, maser rishon shalom nitna trumato, maser rishon of the Levi that doesn't have trumat maser removed from it, umaser sheni vekdesh shalom nivdu, that were not redeemed, vashamash achal pachot mikzayit, or a servant, or a person who is serving weight less than a kezayit, vanachri, and a non-Jew, ein mizaminim elav. They do not join in to the birkat hazimun. They do not qualify to make up the three for Birkat HaMizun. Nashim, vabadim, uktanim, in mizamnim alehem. Women, servants, and children cannot be mitzareif to the zimun. Ad kama mizamnim. What is the threshold by which one has to eat in order to join the zimun? Tanakama says ad kezayit. As long as you eat a kezayit, you can join in the zimun. Yudomer ad kebeitza. You have to eat an egg's worth in order to join in the zimun. Gemara wants to know right away, minahani milei. Where do we know that there's such a concept called Birkat HaZimun? Samar Avasi, Damar Kral. The Pasuk says, Kadbu Lashem Iti, Unir Romama Shemo Yachdav. So, as Rashi explains here, There's a person calling out, Galul Hashem iti, I am the person, let us rise to Hashem together. But he says Gadlu in the plural, the minimum plural is two, and he says iti, with me. That means he has speaking to at least a minimum of two people, and that means three. Unaroma Moshmo Yachtav, and we'll elevate his name together. So that gives us this basis for three as the minimum for Ezimun. Rebo Amar Mihocha, he quotes Pasavir, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havugodel Elokeinu, the same concept again, he says, Kishem Hashem Ekra, cries in the singular, I will call the Shem Hashem, and then Havu, the response is from a plural, minimum of a plural is two, Havugodel Elokeinu, then we will rise or elevate towards God. This is the source for Zimun, because in all these cases it has three individuals involved with it. The problem is, what does this have to do with Zimun at all? It's true that you have three in these psukim, but the Gemara earlier on in the Masechta already used these psukim actually for the source of Birkat HaTorah, not for Birkat HaZimun. So there are a number of ways to solve that or to explain that. One of the ways to explain that is that this is a din in Shevach V'Hodah. Whenever you give praise to Hashem, this is the proper way to do it. It requires a opening and a response. Someone opens up with the praise to Hashem, and then there are respondents to the praise of Hashem. Birkat HaTorah is Shevach V'Hodah Hashem. Benching is also Shevach V'Hodah Hashem. And the Birkat HaZimun is premised on this idea that it's Shevach V'Hodah Hashem. The other possibility, which I heard from Rav Meir Lichtenstein, is that the meal that one wants to eat, the Torah is trying to create in Chulin something similar to Kodesh. We have that in many instances, for instance, with Shechita. The reason we have Shechita by Chulin, it's a derivative of that which happens by Kodashim. So there is a way to be Makdish, that which is Chulin, to be similar in concept to that which is Hekdesh. Now Hekdesh, or the concept of Hekdesh, is that everything belongs to Hashem, and we're always before Hashem. So what we want to do in our life of Chulin is to somehow emulate a little bit what happens in Kodesh, and that's to feel or elevate our meals to the point where we feel like we're eating before Hashem. And so the Birkat HaZimun, just like Birkat HaTorah, is a concept of elevation to Hashem, or giving a framework to our meals, that we are Ochel Lifnei Hashem. And we know that the Midrashim, that the table of an individual is Mizbeach, the food on top of it is Gilu HaKorban LaHashem, and then a person who invites Aniyim to join in his table, that's as if he is like Hashem, emulating Hashem, and providing for others. The Mashalim and the Midrashim clearly draw that equation between eating at one's table and that of the Korbanot. And similarly over here, the idea of the Zimun is to give a framework and the benching afterwards to say that when we eat, we're Ochel Lifnei Hashem. And for Ochel Lifnei Hashem, that requires something to be said about it, and that's Birkat HaZimun. When is Ochel Lifnei Hashem, one has to call out and others have to respond. That is the proper way to deal with being Lifnei Hashem. So that's another possibility as to why this is the source for Zimun and its connection to Birkat HaTorah. Amar Rav Chanan bar Abba, Minayin Lona Amen, Shelo Yagbia Kolo Yoter Min HaMevarech. Where is the source for the fact that a person who answers Amen, the affirmation of a bracha, should not raise his voice above the level of the voice of the Mevarech? Shenemar Galul Hashem Iti, meaning that the call of the individual is Gadul Hashem, iti, with me. And together we will raise our voices. So it's together, the same level. So the Mevarech says it at a certain volume. The Amen should reflect that volume, because the Amen is an affirmation of the bracha of the Baruch. And it's true today that the practice amongst many people is to answer Amen much louder than the Mevarech. That's probably based on the Gemara in Shabbat that says, Amen b'chol kocho. That anybody who answers Amen b'chol kocho, they're tear up, korim lo gzar dino, rip up any bad decrees that were on him. Over there, the Rishonim argue about what does it mean b'chol kocho. Does that mean b'chol kavanato, with all his intent, with the proper mindset, or does chol kocho mean literally, physically, with all of his strength? And that is probably what the basis for the minhag today is, that people raise their voice when they answer Amen. Amar Rabbi Shimon Pazi minayin shein ha-mitargim rasha lagbia kolo yoter min ha-kore. How do we know when they read the Torah in the time of the Gemara? They used to read one pasuk, and then they have a mitargim translated into Aramaic, pasuk by pasuk afterwards. How do you know that the one who's translating can't raise his voice higher than the one who's reading the Torah? Shenemar Moshe yidaber, ve'elukim yanenu b'kol. That Moshe spoke, and as Tosafot says, Mistama Moshe spoke at the top of his voice, because he's trying to reach, speak to all of Klal Yisrael. Then ve'elukim yanenu b'kol. And Hashem answered back b'kol, she'ein tam alomer b'kol. Whose voice is that? The same level or the same volume as Moshe. Now, Hashem was only speaking to Moshe. He wasn't speaking to Bnei Yisrael. So for Moshe to raise his voice to the highest level, that makes sense. But why did Hashem reflect the volume of Moshe's voice? even though he was just speaking to Moshe, because of this principle that the Metargeim cannot raise his voice more than that of the Kore. And that makes sense even from a philosophical standpoint, because the Targum should not be more important than the Kriya itself. The source of the Kriya, the reading of the Torah, is the real thing. The Metargeim, the Targum, the translation of it is for the benefit of the people listening. But not that it should exceed the volume of that which is being read, as if that this is more important, or this is the primary object. No, the primary thing is the reading of the Torah. Secondarily, we translate it so people understand. In order to make that clear and give that impression, we say that the person who is Mitargeim should not raise his voice above the one who is Kore. Tani Nami Hochi, we have a braita that suggests the same thing. The Mitargeim should not raise his voice above the one who is Kore Betorah. If he cannot raise his voice to the level of Kore, then the person who's reading actually should lower his voice to make it that the volumes are of equal level, and as to not have a problem where the Mitargeim and the Kore are at different audible levels. So now we move back to our issues of Zimun. Itmar, Shnaim Shachlu Kechat, two people eat together. Pligi Rav Rav Yochanan, Rav and Rav Yochanan argue about what the din is. Now it's clear from the Mishnayot, when you talk about the Mishnayot, the Mishnah says clearly, Shlosha Shachlu, three people get together, that's a Zimun. Then other Mishnayot later on say, only if you're three, can you not separate? It seems almost clear from the Mishnayot that three is considered to be a Zimun and nothing less. The Amoraim all of a sudden introduced this concept that you can have two that make a Zimun, something that's not found in the Mishnah. Now, it could be possible that this is really a derivative of the fact that we compared Zimun to Birkat HaTorah, or maybe even to what people call Yoshev or a Beit Din, that a Beit Din needs to be three. But we said in other places, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that if two are done, that it is a Din, or maybe it's not a Din, that's a Machloket Amoraim there. Maybe you have the same thing over here, by Zimun. Even though three is the proper way to do it, maybe two is okay. And some of this might be deriving from the fact that the Gemara uses the source for Zimun, the same dinim that we find by Birkat HaTorah and by Limud HaTorah. And therefore, the Gemara introduces this possibility that even below three, you could have a Zimun. That's a Machloket Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Chan Amar Im Ratzu L'Zamein Mizamnim. If they want to do a Zimun, they can. Chan Amar Im Ratzu L'Zamein Ein Mizamnim. If they want to be a Zimun, they can't. So the question is not whether you're obligated. The only question is if it's optional. Three are obligated to make a Zimun. Two, Machloket Amoraim, as to whether you are restricted, you may not make a Zimun. Or do you have the option? You have Rishut, you have the ability to make a Zimun if you choose. So now the Gemara wants to bring our Mishnah as a proof against this. Done. Shlosha Shachlu Kechat Chayavim Lezamein. Shlosha In Shnaim Lo. It's pretty obvious from the Mishnah. Three, yes. Two, no. So Gemara's answers what we explained before. Hatam Chova Acha Rishut. In our Mishnah, we're talking about an obligation. By three, you're obligated. By two, that's optional. So the Mishnah is speaking about the obligation because Gadol HaMitzuveh, as Rashi says, your term is Enu Mitzuveh. So Mitzuveh, that's what the Mishnah discusses. Enu Mitzuveh, that's optional. If you want to do that, that's fine. But that's not what the Mishnah is addressing. Tashma, the Mishnah later on. Shlosha Shachlu Kachat Chayavim Lezamein Ve'en Rashim Lechalik. Three that eat together must make a Zimun, and they may not split up. Now, Rashi says they may not split up because then the other two, person who walks away is going to leave the other two without a Zimun. Tosafot points out that the one who walks away also has a problem. When he walks away, he's also creating an instance where he was Chayiv in Zimun, he's walking away from the Zimun. So the problem is not just for the two that are left behind, it's even for the one who is walking away. They're all problematic. So Tosafot says he doesn't think the proof here is necessarily from this part of the Mishnah, but rather from the latter half of the Mishnah, which is that over there it says, Arba ein Rishayim Lechalek. Four people are not allowed to split up. Now by four people not splitting up, then you have two and two. So if you believe that two and two could make a Zimun, then it'd be fine. By three, you have the problem that you have one breaking off from two. Two could make the Zimun, but the one might still be problematic, and you can't bring any proof from that because maybe two could have been okay. It's the one that's the problem there. So by making it into the question in the latter half of that mission, the four, when it's two and two, Tosafot says, there you have two and two, and that shows you that you can't break up. So the Gemara says, Shlosha in, Shnaim lo, three yes, two no. So again, Shani Otam, Tekavalu b'chova me'ikara. They already established themselves as a chova. When they obligated themselves to have a Zimun, whether they were three or four together, that's a Zimun of Chova, where you're obligated. And again, Rashi says, Goldon Mitzuveh, Mishenu Mitzuveh. And therefore, better to have a Zimun Biglau Chova, because you're obligated, rather than a Zimun that comes because of optionality, because of a Rishut. And so even though we started, according to Tosafot, with four, according to Rashi, with three, and then you break up and you still have two left, the two left are not as good as having three or four together, because that's the difference between Chova and Rishut. So Tashma, Neshamash, Sheya, Mishamesh, Ashnaim, Herzeh ochel imahem. Shemai that is serving two people is allowed to eat with them. Afo pishinot lo reshut. Even though they didn't give him permission. Even though it is a little beyond his stature or standing in society to eat when the other people are eating when he's serving them. Nevertheless, he should eat with them because then he will establish a zimun for them of three. But if he's serving three, he does not have permission to eat because they have a zimun without him. Unless they specifically grant him the right to eat because otherwise it's inappropriate for him to eat. So again, you see that three is the threshold for zimun. If two is the threshold for zimun, why does the shamash need to eat when there are two of them there? Again, shani hotam, the nechilu lemikva lubechova, that they rather reach the point where they are obligated in zimun rather than when it's optional. If it's just the two of them, it'll be optional. If they allow the shamash to eat, then they will all three be obligated, and that will be even better. Now the Gemara moves on. Tashma. What about nashim? What about women? Nashim is zamut li atzman. Women can make a zimun by themselves. Vavadim is zamim atzman, and servants can make their own zimun as well. Nashim vavadim uktanim im ratzu lezamein ein mezamnim. On the other hand, Nashim Avadim Ktanim, if they want to make a Zimun together, they may not make a Zimun because of a problem of a Pritzut. That it's a Pritzuta, it's a problem of them joining together. Now, the Gemara says, wait a minute, Vaha Meya Noshi Ketre Gavre Damion. 100 women are equivalent to 2 men, Viktani. And we see there that Nashim is Zamnot Liatzman, that women can make their own Zimun, Vavadim is Zamnim Latzman, and Avadim can make their own Zimun. So the question is, depends on who you think like. Rashi says the question here is, that if women are considered like 2, and they have the option or the ability to make a zimun, we see that 2 is a zimun. Because if 100 women are equal to 2 men, 2 men have an option to make a zimun, 100 women have the same option, which is to make a zimun. So if that's the case, I have a proof that 2 can make a zimun. On the other hand, Tosafot learns this as a general principle in Dvarim Shibikdusha. It says, Tosafot sees this as a din with anything that requires a minyan. Tosafot explains that the question over here that is posed is based on the fact that this has to do with women in general. Women in general, mea ketrei, means that they don't mitztarif to any davar shibikdusha, kibbutz tefila, davar shibatzara, they don't count towards a minyan. And despite the fact they don't count towards a minyan, they still can make a zimun. So you see that the qualification for minyan is not important here, and they can make a zimun, whether it's 3, whether it's 2, it doesn't matter, because we're saying mea ketrei. That 100 women are like 2, and even though they're counted like 2 with any other davar shibikdusha, nevertheless, they can bench over here. They can make a zimun. So you see that when it comes to 2, there is a din of zimun. Rashi, on the other hand, reads it slightly differently and says that this is a din in zimun itself. Just like Tosafot says, they have the option to make a zimun. They're not obligated to making a zimun. But if it's an option, that means that even though there are 3 of them, that it's an option. If it's an option, that's similar to what we say by 2 men. 100 women's like 2 men. If they have the option to do it when they're 3, men should have the option to do it when they are 2. And that's the comparison that Rashi draws. Now, in terms of women's zimun, there's a sugya here, as well as a sugya in Arachin. From that, the Rishonim argue about what exactly is the status of women with regards to zimun. Here you see Tosafot and Rashi saying that women are optional. They may, if they want, make a zimun, but they're not obligated in zimun. Many of the other Rishonim, based on the Gemara in Arachin, suggest that women are obligated in zimun. It's not just an option, but there's an obligation for them to be part of a zimun. Because that's what the Mishnah in Arachin says, and that's the way Gemara seems to read it in Arachin. Our Gemara seems to indicate that the women are only quasi-obligated or optional, whereas the Gemara there seems to be an obligation. You have to reconcile between those two Gemarot. And Rishonim deal with it differently. Tosafot, you can see, is dealing with it by saying that it's optional. If they choose to make a zimun, they can, but they're not obligated in making a zimun. That's why Tosafot deals with it. Other Rishonim say no, that they are obligated in zimun. And over here, when we say mea ketrei, maybe we're talking about other dvarim shibikdusha, maybe we're talking about in relationship to men. If they want to join a zimun of a man, they don't have that status to make them into the 3. Other Rishonim have different ways of dealing with this. V'alocha. After we have the Rishonim going through this, their amazing shittot in the Rishonim, Tosfot here brings already from the Rabbi Avraham, the Balei Tosfot, there's a Mordechai also who quotes, that some of the Balei Tosfot were mitztareif women to their zimun that was in their household. If it was someone who was a part of their family, whether it was their wife, their daughters, they were mitztareif them to the zimun. Some of them to a zimun shlosha, some even to make up the 10 for asara, they were mitztareif them. Now the Alocha, we do not hold like these Balei Tosfot. But the question is, what do we do, the halacha? Are women obligated in Zimun or not? Now, it seems the right thing for women to do is to make a Zimun. If they have the ability to make a Zimun, and in instances where there are only two men there, the men should bench, maybe move out, and then the women can make a Zimun. In the cases where there's a men's Zimun there, many of the Achronim and the Poskei Halacha mentioned that maybe it's better for them to join with the men's Zimun, because that Zimun might be obligatory versus the women's, which is optional, and therefore they should join the Zimun. The question that comes up is, if women are there, and there's a Zimun, and there are three men there, can they leave the table? Are they obligated to join the Zimun? Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, it's wrong that the men bench without the women there, that the women are equally obligated in the Zimun, and once they eat together with the three men at the table, they have the same obligation in Zimun, and they should be joined with the Zimun, that they should be there when they bench. He says, especially on Shabbat, even on weekdays, he said it would be a good idea, but sometimes they're too busy. But otherwise, the women should be there for the Zimun. On the other hand, Rav Nasha Klein in the Mishnah Halachot wants to be Malamed Zchut on people who don't do that. Maybe because of the difference in obligation to women, they also don't have the same din in Gviat Suda. There he's asked a question by a friend about a minhag of the Hasidim too on their Friday night meal to leave before they bench and go to the Rebbe and to be by the Tish. And then they leave their women or the wife without a Zimun. Is that proper or possible? So Rav Nasha Klein is Malamed Zchut on those individuals and comes up with the reason why maybe it's okay. But in general, it's true that women should, first of all, be Mizamein and part of the Zimun when there are three men at the table. And when there are three women there, it seems that they should make a Zimun for themselves, as long as, again, there's no problem with Pitzuta, and that the men are either move on or they bench, and that's not an issue. They can make a Zimun to themselves. It's improper if there is a men's Zimun for women to split off and make their own Zimun because they might have a lower form of obligation, and that would be improper in that case. And Tosfot over here says that the women had problems with Zimun, and why they didn't do it is because they were ignorant. They didn't know anything. But if the women, as they are, that they're educated, and that they do mitzvot, there's no reason why women today should not be mizamein or make a Zimun together. Right, so now the Gemara has this issue where women do make a Zimun, and they are indicating, the Gemara through that is indicating that men should also be able to make a Zimun, this optional Zimun, when there are two of them. Right, that makes a difference over there, because even though maybe women are ketre gavre, they're like two men, nevertheless, they still count in terms of numbers. So in terms of chova, they don't have an obligation to do a Zimun, nevertheless, they are still counted as three. For Zimun, the number is three, and women count towards that number of three. So even though they're not obligated, it's optional, they nevertheless have a count of three. So it's not ketre like we learned before, that they're like two. They're like two with regards to obligation. They're not obligated to make a Zimun, like two men are not obligated to make a Zimun. But in terms of reshut, in terms of their option to make a Zimun, when we look, we don't say two women's enough. We say that you need three women. That the women, you have to count them, and their numbers matter. And so we see over there that you can't bring a proof from that. The only thing you can prove from that is that, yes, women have a reshut, possibly, when it comes to Zimun, not an obligation, but you can't prove from that two is okay. Because when the women do make a Zimun, when they do it as an option to make it, they do it with three. And that's the paradigm that we set up, is three, not two. So there's no proof from there that it's two. So Ema Seifa, let's look at the Seifa. If that's the case, Ema Seifa. Nashim Avadim, Ratzu B'Zamin, Ema Zamin. If Avadim and Nashim want to get together, they can't make a Zimun. Amai, lo, why not? If they count, Avadim and Nashim will have the same din, maybe they should count, you can make a Zimun together. Vayika Dayot, you have three. Shani Ota Mishum Pritzuta, that's what we mentioned before. The problem there is not a problem of whether they can or cannot make a Zimun. The problem is Pritzut. We don't want the women and Avadim together in the room, because that will end up in a bad situation. So you want to keep them separate, so we don't have them make a Zimun, because that would require them to eat together, to be together, and that will end up in a bad situation. So now, Tistayim, the Gemara wants to say, let us conclude, between this Machloket, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, we said one has this opinion, one has that opinion. We don't know which is which. Now, it's important, because you know Rav, Rabbi Yochanan, Alochek, Rabbi Yochanan. So we want to know which one's the opinion of Rav, which one is Rabbi Yochanan. So let's say Rav, Damar, Imratzu, the Zamein, Im Zamnim. Let's say Rav's the one of the opinion that you don't have an option to make a Zimun when it comes to two. If three people ate together and one of them leaves to the shuk, they call to him and they bench with him. Again, this is in Machloket Rishonim exactly what's happening here. We'll go with the simplest pshat, which is what Rashi suggests over here. The person's out on the shuk and they want a bench. So they call out to this person, and if he can hear them and answer to the Zimun, that's sufficient for them to make the Zimun together. Time the Korimlo. But only if they call him does it work. Hello, Korimlo. Lo. But if they don't call him, then they don't have a Zimun. Where it says, the same answer that we've seen before, Shani Otam, Digvulu, Bechova, Meikara. They had three together, so they were obligated in Zimun. If the two go on without this third one in the Shuk, they can, yes, maybe they can make a Zimun. But that'll be an optional Zimun, not an obligatory Zimun, and that won't work. Ela Tistayim, so let's try the other way. That Rabbi Yochanan, who, Damar, Imratzu, Zamein, Im Zaminim. that if they want the option to make zimun, you can with two people. Damar Rabbi Barchan, Rabbi Yochanan, Shnaim Shachlu Kachat. Two people ate together. Echad mehem yotzei bebirkat chaveiro. One of them can be mitzvah the other one. Vavinan ba Mike Mashmalon. What's the question? Why can't one person make a bracha for the other? Tanina, it's a Mishnah. Shama v'lo ana yatsa. If you listen to someone and you don't answer, amein, you're still yotzei. Shomei akeone, it works. V'amar Rabbi Zeira lomar she'en birkat hazimun b'nehem. That teaches you that there is no birkat hazimun amongst them. The din teaches you that even though two people together, one can be mevarech for the other, nevertheless, there is no zimun here. So tistayim, from that we can conclude that Rabbi Yochanan is the author of that position. Because over here we see, what's the reason that we say that two people together, one can make a bracha for the other? But, nevertheless, as Rabbi Zeira says, there is no zimun, birkat zimun b'nehem. That's the chiddush of the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. To teach you, there is no zimun by two people. So, amalei rova bar Rav Huna, the Rav Huna, b'ha rabbanon d'atum im harova. But the rabbanon that come from Eretz Yisrael, amrei im ratzu l'zamein l'zamnim. They all quote this memra from someone, that if you want to make, two people want to make a zimun, they can. Now, who is the bal ho-ra'ah, who is the big gun in Eretz Yisrael? That's Rabbi Yochanan. So isn't it, my love, Tishmilu and Rabbi Yochanan, they must have heard this from Yochanan, otherwise how did they get this? It says, well, Tishmilu may Rav, mikamei denochit de Bavel. No, we said before that Rav was in Eretz Yisrael learning by Rabbi before he came down to Bavel and became the leader of the Babylonian community. So they heard this from Rav before he left Eretz Yisrael. Then when he came to Bavel, you still have trickles of these Talmidim coming who had heard it from Rav. And they're quoting Rav and not Rabbi Yochanan. So the conclusion would be that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that two people do not have the option to make a Zimun. Whereas Rav says they do have an option. Rabbi Yochanan, halachic Rabbi Yochanan, therefore, there is no option for two people to make a zimun. So Gufa, we're going back to discuss something we mentioned. Rav Dimi bar Yosef and Rav Shlosh Shachlu Kachat, v'yatza achad mehem lashuk. Three people ate together, one of them goes out to the shuk, korim lo mezamnin alav. They call him, and they can bench with that person. So Amar Abai, v'hu dekari lev oni. That's as long as he can hear. They call him, and he can still answer to them. Amar Azutra, v'lo amran, elo b'shlosha. That's only true when it's three people. Of Obasara the 90. When you're talking about 10 people, he has to actually show up. So Matki Vlo Ravashi, Ada Rabbi Ipcho Mistab Ravashi says, I think the opposite is more logical. Tisha Nirin Gasara. 9 people look like 10. You can't discern between 9 and 10. So if he doesn't show up and he's out there answering, people will just think it's 10. That's why every time you need a minion, you're looking around, you don't know if you have 9 or 10. You have to count because people don't know. It's not easy to discern. Shnayim Einirin Kishlosha. If you have 2 people or 3 people, it's very obvious whether you have 2 or 3. So therefore, if the person's in the shuk, you can't have the benching of 3 people unless the person returns and shows up. By a sarah, when you have 10, 9 people, and the other person in the shuk is answering them, maybe that's fine because it looks like 10 people. People won't get confused. Be'ilchata, the Gemara says, the conclusion is, kir mar zutra. The halacha is like mar zutra, that it's only true, b'shlosha, above a sarah, you need him to show up. My timer. Came into the Kurei Shem Shemayim, because they're going to mention Shem Hashem, 10 by benching allows you to add the word Elokeinu, Batzimer Sarah, Lav Orach Aro. It's not proper etiquette, it's not proper Derech Eretz to mention Shem Hashem unless the 10 people are actually present. It actually comes up in a Gemara on Daf Mem Zayin, there's going to be a machloket there with regards to how we put together 3, 10, who can be included, who cannot be included. This Gemara over here will play a pivotal role in how we show him to understand that Gemara further on. All right, now the Gemara continues here. 2 people eat together, should split up. They shouldn't stay together. What does that mean? If they both know how to bench by themselves, they both know how to say brachot by themselves. Rashi says this applies to birkat hamazon and birkat hamotzi. Brachot rishona achrona. Anything that they need, they should each bench independently. They should say their brachot independently because they're not considered to be a unit. They're only a unit once they have 3. But that's true if they both know how to bench. If one of them is someone who knows how to bench, the other one is an Amaretz who does not know how to bench, then sofer mevarech bor yotzei. Then obviously you can be shomeh ka'one and you can take care of the other individual. The Rashi says it applies to all brachot. Tosafot disagrees. And Tosafot says that it only applies to brach achrona with regards to benching. But the guides of Bracha Rishona, for sure, you can have one person be Mevarech Likulam, even when it's only 2. This is simply a din in benching, not a din in Bracha Rishona. So Amar Rava, Ham Milta Amrita Anon. This is something that I said. Vitamra Mishmei de Rabbi Zera, and I've also heard it in the name of Rabbi Zera Kavati, the similar to what I said. Shlosh Shach Lukachat, when 3 people eat together, Echad Mafsik L'Shnaim. If 2 of them want to bench, they can force the 3rd one to stop eating and bench with them. On the other hand, the opposite is not true. If 2 people are eating and the 3rd one wants to leave, he can't force or obligate the other 2 to stop and bench. Hello? Is that not true? Rav Papa was willing to stop to eat for Abba Mari Berei, for Abba Mari, his son, and he was eating with someone else, and his son wanted to leave, and they stopped. He was not obligated to stop his meal. He did it as a tova. His son wanted to leave. He wanted to help him out, so he stopped eating in order to allow him to bench. They're eating together, the three of them. They didn't have a clear hierarchy here of who should be the one to lead the benching, because they were all of the same level, they were all chaverim, so they didn't know who to give the honor of benching. They said, wait, we have a Mishnah that says three we eat together, they have to make a zimun. So it says, maybe that's only true when there's somebody who is of the stature hierarchy that he's differentiated from the others. So maybe when we're all of the same stature, the same level, we should break up and make our own brachot. So they went ahead, and they each benched on their own. They didn't make a zimun. They came for a meimar. You're very good. You all benched, and you were yotze the bracha of birkat hamazon. But as far as zimun is concerned, you didn't do anything. You're still missing the zimun. If you want to say now, let's go back and do the zimun. We did the benching. Let's bend now. Do the zimun retroactively. Zimun is premised on birkat hamazon following it. You can't do a zimun retroactively. So that's important, that if you have a zimun there, if someone starts to bench, that's it. They're lost from the zimun. You can't make a zimun on someone who's already started to bench. Zimun is for people who have yet to bench, because it's the introductory paragraph of giving bracha to Hashem. The zimun, we'll see that explicitly in tomorrow's daf, as well as this issue of when one person stops for two, when they stop to eat, they bench, how much do they have to bench? How much of the zimun do they have to have? How much of benching do they have to have? And then when that person continues to eat, what does he have to do afterwards when he goes back and bench? That'll all be addressed in tomorrow's daf. Person comes along and finds them benching. He didn't eat with them. And he comes and finds them benching. How does he respond to them? Now, the people in the meal, we know, Rabbatayin Avarech, Yishem Hashem Avarech Metabar Olam. Then he says, Bershut, Maranan, Rabbanan, Rabbatayin Avarech, Shechalam Mishalo. And then they say, Baruch Shechalam Mishalo. So he says, let us give bracha to the one who we ate from. And they respond, Baruch Shechalam Mishalo, that blessed is the one that we ate from, because they all participated in the meal. This person who shows up over here can't answer that way, because he can't say that we should bless the one who provided us the meal, or provided us our food. He didn't eat there. So Rav Zidamar, Baruch Umivorach. He says, Baruch Umvarach, Ba'amar Onei Amein, V'lo Pliga, they don't argue. Adash Kachinu, the Kamre Nivarech. Depends where they're up to in the benching. If it's still the leader is calling, Nivarech Le'elokeinu, or Nivarech Shechanu Mishalo, then he can respond, Baruch Umvarach, we'll see exactly what the proper response is. But if he found them ready, the cow, the people there are answering ready, Baruch Shechanu Mishalo, Tavokainu, he's too late, he didn't hear the call to come and answer the bracha, then he just answers Amein to what they're saying. Now, the Tosafot brings quotes from the Bala Lacha Gudolo, that the right way to say it is, Baruch Hu Mevaruch Shemo Tamid Olam Vaed. And if there are 10 people there, he says, Baruch Elokeinu Mevaruch Shemo Tamid Olam Vaed. And that is the halacha, that someone who shows up and hears people benching, if he hears the Mizamein, the one who's calling them to give bracha, and he didn't eat, he should answer, Baruch Uvaruch Shemo Tamid Olam Vaed, or Baruch Elokeinu Uvaruch Shemo Tamid Olam Vaed. That is the proper answer. Again, if he shows up after he's already called them, and they're just answering the benching, that's what he hears. He answers Amen to their response. Tani Chada Onei Amen Achar Bichotav Arzei Meshubach. We have one braita that suggests the person answers Amen to his own brachot. That's praiseworthy. Tani Idach, we have another braita that says Arzei Meguneh. That's something that is inappropriate. Lokasha Abu B'nei Yerushalayim Arbishar Brachot. Depends where I'm benching. To answer Amen in B'nei Yerushalayim, that is proper. But in the rest of the brachot of the benching, that is inappropriate. Abai answer Amen to B'nei Yerushalayim in a very loud voice, so that the workers would know that that was the end of benching for them, because the fourth bracha is going to see in tomorrow's daf and further on in this parak, that the fourth bracha was only a institution, the Rabbanan, that was appended to benching. And in being appended to benching, it's not obligatory. And therefore, the Polim will need to go to work. The Rabbanan waived or gave them a dispensation that they did not have to say a Tov Meitiv. So he say Amen to show that that was the end of the benching d'oraita, min haTorah, the first three brachot, and we'll see later on that they, and we saw this earlier in Masechta, that Polim actually condense the brachot, the first three brachot. But then after that, they can leave. So he used to say the Amen very loudly at B'nai Yerushalayim. On the other hand, Rav Ashi Ani Leibel Chisha, he used to answer it softly, because what ended up happening was that people, when they knew that Amen, that was really the end of benching, and this little addition afterwards was only the Rabbanan. When people heard that, they kind of said, all right, we'll do the first three, and then they left, and they didn't do the last brocha. So he used to answer the Amen quietly, so people wouldn't realize that that was really the end of benching, and they would also join in and do the fourth brocha. Now, the Amen that is there at the end of Bnei Yerushalayim, the way Rashi explains it is that the proper place to answer Amen is with you at the end of something. It's the conclusion. And that's what he says. She's Sof HaBrachot. V'chaim Sof Brachot to Kriyat Shema Shacharit V'Arvit. Also, at the end of the Birkat Kriyat Shema, you don't answer Amen to yourself for each bracha, but only at the final bracha should you answer Amen. Now, the Sfaradim had the minhag again to answer Amen to all the brachot that's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, the Halacha. On the other hand, Ashkenazim hold, like the Rashi here, or the idea that Amen is only answered at the Sof HaBrachot. Then the Tosfos says, what about us? What do we do? He says, Umiyu po chazi mayamu dover. Go see what the minhag ha'am is. Shalom ha'gula no'ot amein, elo achar b'nei Yerushalayim to Birkat HaMazon. The minhag ha'am is not to answer amein to anything except b'nei Yerushalayim in benching. And that is minhag Ashkenaz. That's the din of the Ashkenazim, that they don't answer amein to any bracha of their own, except for b'nei Yerushalayim. And Tosfos says, especially today for us, where we don't have this din of Po'alim, even Abaye would agree that you should answer the amein of b'nei Yerushalayim a little bit softer, not make a big deal out of it, so that people continue on in the benching and don't think that that is the end of benching. Okay, we'll stop over here.